College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some college basketball. Now, we will start the show talking about, you know, mostly this weekend's action. We did see Auburn go down. We saw some very tight games that almost looked like there were going to be some upsets. Illinois and Texas Tech got some big wins on the road. Arkansas protected home court in a low-scoring game, 58-48. In my weekly prediction article, I actually got my Iowa over Ohio State on the road upset correct, so that was a nice little dub. But other than that, I mean, Providence got, you know, had a great comeback against Butler on the road. That was pretty big. Obviously, we will talk about Coach Howard and the Michigan-Wisconsin thing and you know, what should be done, what kind of discipline should be done. We hear everyone say, you know, from a couple games or a game to, you know, maybe a long-term suspension or, you know, firing him too. A lot of people are talking about a variety of things when it comes to that. So we'll discuss that. Then we'll definitely look forward to this week. Tuesday doesn't have two or three ranked versus ranked matchups like it normally has, but it's still a pretty good week on paper. If you look at Saturday, though, it is stacked. I'm talking stacked. Kentucky visits Arkansas. Auburn visits Tennessee. If you look at the rankings in the SEC standings, that's a pretty big game. Also, Gonzaga St. Mary's. Let's see if anybody can handle Gonzaga, or not handle them, but, you know, at least stay with them down the stretch. USC and Oregon. So there is definitely some games to look forward to this weekend. You know, as we get closer and closer, what is it, February 21st, man? It's not that far off at all. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open and listen to it, you know, in the browser or download the show there if you don't want to. You can find this year's College Ball Show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, Amazon Music. We're also part of the Grueling Chew Sports Podcast Network. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingchew.com. And one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99 a month. It's the best of live TV and on demand. No annual contract, no hidden fees. If you upgrade to the Choice or Ultimate package, that'll give you 3 free months of HBO Max, plus you get to enjoy regional sports networks with no additional fees, which is huge when it comes to basketball and football, especially at the college ranks. And then if you go all the way to the Premier package, that'll give you HBO Max and Showtime already included. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in the co-host, Marshall, and see how he's doing on this fine day. There we go. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing?
Life is pretty good. Life's pretty good. I did just Google just to be live and up to date with it. I'm sure the announcement will come, but as of now, there's no decision on Juwan Howard. Good old Tom Izzo from the Interstate Rivals. It said, man, it reminded me of Malice in the Palace and a destroyed.
Oh, give me a break.
I shit you not. Bothered by Juwan Howard incident. It reminded me of Malice in the Palace. And the Detroit News said, fire Juwan Howard as University of Basketball coach. Or, I'm, you know, like, it's like, holy shit. Okay. Now, I'm not saying what he did was right. Like, obviously,
that
there's no
bullshit.
Room in sports for coaches to be, you know, causing fights, but I don't think he should be fired. And Tom Izzo,
but the example's horrendous, dude.
Yeah.
The example is horrible.
I think you're taking a shot at your interstate rival, and you're kind of just being a dick. Like, because that's not even anywhere similar to, you know, the Malice in the Palace. Like, you know, that was actually a really, like, awful scene for the NBA.
completely different deal.
But I mean, you know, the fans got involved. Like, there's so that's so many different things.
Wait,
like
that is,
you know,
see, that's
yeah.
That's the problem with folks today, and I'm not just talking Izzo, right? But everybody wants to like either underreact, right, or overreact.
Sure.
It just seems like there's no logic left anymore at times where you're just like, dude, make your point, say it was wrong, say what you think should happen, cool. But to sit there and go over the top and say it was that when it clearly wasn't.
No, yeah. And so, again, there's a lot of comments from Izzo, but again, that was the headline clickbait thing. But yeah, so I think the Detroit sport writers are miserable because they live in a state of shitty sport teams. But yeah, to say that it reminds them of Malice in the Palace,
yeah,
and then to say you should be fired. I mean, if we're gonna talk about college coaches, a whole lot of these guys are, you know, not exactly the most innocent, clean people in the world, you know, like so that's ridiculous. Like, but. Just to go off gut reactions, just because, like, we were talking before the show and I was talking with some fellow coaches at work today, I would say suspend him for the rest of the regular season. That gives him about a two and a half week suspension. It shows that you do not tolerate the acts that were done. Obviously, I'm sure Juwan Howard probably now regrets what he did. And so, yeah, 3 to 4 games, that's probably fair. You let him join his team to coach his team for the March Madness. But I think one game would be too little, and that would say, okay, well, if coach wants to slap another coach, he can do it. And if you spend it for the whole year, that I think, now, in my humbled opinion, I don't think what happened yesterday is worth having a whole season be over too. So, yeah, I think the rest of the regular season is what the decision I would make. But in case some people miss this, unfortunately, after the coaches had their scuffle, some of the players like got involved and threw some serious punches. So unfortunately, some of the guys who were probably standing up for their coach or heard something or something got said to them, they got involved too, which makes all the matters whole worse. But I think a couple of players on both teams will probably have to face some punishment as well. And as I asked my co-host before the show, do you punish the players the same as the coach? That I think will be really interesting because the coach has started it. So I'll be very curious to see how the NCAA or the Big Ten, or I guess who's ever responsible for this, do players and coaches get the same punishment? I'll be curious to see how that one plays out, Chris.
Yeah, and the first thing you think of in college basketball when you think of coaches is the Chaney and Calipari debacle, right? That's the first thing that comes to mind. It's funny, I was just minorly Googling something, and recently – funny enough, literally the 17th of this month, NDSU and Oral Roberts, players and coaches, got into a tussle in a handshake line. but, you know, since they're small schools, it didn't really make – like, I didn't hear that. I never heard that. And I Googled
sure.
it. And actually, it's funny because we were talking about this off-air right before we started recording. And I didn't know until I actually looked at the date of the – because like, let me see when this was, you know. And I looked and I was like, oh, shit, this is like last week, dude. This is like a few days ago, you know. So, and that's kind of what I'm saying about this over the top and under the top. I think that's a pretty good example right there. Now, anytime, you know, you have an NBA player, former coach, big, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, big programs, I always know – you always know that's probably going to get more attention. I get that
part. Yes.
But it is kind of funny how it's like, whoa. Now, as far as a coaching perspective, there were more pushing and shoving and, like, into each other's chest and stuff like that than actually slapping somebody. And I will say this. It was a slap. It wasn't a punch. But just throwing something is good enough. Doesn't really matter if it's a punch or a slap. Just throwing your arm like that at another coach. Now, I don't know what the coach said. I doubt it would, you know, I really don't know, but it doesn't matter. Well, there is one thing that I wouldn't be over the top pissed off if someone got triggered like that, but I assume that would already be out because there's a lot of people around, and if he said something over the top like that, obviously I'm talking about a race thing, which obviously I'm assuming that didn't happen, right? But either way, if someone's pissing you off as a coach, it doesn't give you the right to do that, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of hear what you're saying about that one game thing. There's only like four or five games left in the season, regular season. And so, you know, maybe that four or five games, you know, maybe at this year, because there's only four or five games and then the Big Ten tournament, maybe, I guess the NIT or possibly the Big Ten dance too. But I guess the rest of the year wouldn't be as bad as it may sound just because we're right here. You know, we're at the end of it pretty much. So, you know, if they, I guess I wouldn't be shocked. And a lot of times when this happens and it's high profile, that's when a precedent gets set. And it, whether it's fair or not, it wouldn't shock me if it was for the rest of the year, period. You know, it wouldn't shock me just because you do sometimes see, hey, this doesn't happen much. We're going to put our foot down. So I do think that one game thing, I think you hit that on the nose. And also I want to say that not that he should be suspended or like fined or anything like that, but the Wisconsin coach, he doesn't need to grab anybody, you know, I mean, maybe his own player by the arm, but if you know someone's pissed at you, because obviously he went over there and it looked like he was maybe trying to talk to him. I don't know. We don't really know what was said. But to grab someone first, I think that's kind of like, well, dude, you didn't need to do all that either. Now, that doesn't excuse or make him responsible for that. But you are, like, you know how when you're on the road and you're, when you get a car accident, just for being on the road in some states, you're like 10% responsible, you know, where you're like, what? He hit me. What do I need to, what am I responsible? So I wouldn't put any kind of major discipline on him or anything like that. But I think he would probably own up to, hey, that's probably not the best way to address it. If you want to talk to someone, talk to someone. It did seem like he wanted to talk. But in the whole timeout, the reason he gave was pretty silly, just like it is for Jawan to be mad, that mad to where that may happen, even if someone does grab you, you know. And they touched each other's chest, both of them, too. And so it was kind of a heat of the moment, but, yeah, it definitely didn't need to go to any kind of slap or punch or anything like that. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see. But yeah, the well, precedent, go ahead.
And to wrap this up, here's another brilliant idea, because I just saw the NDSU Oral Roberts clip. Mm-hmm. So the NDSU is at home. They're winning. They steal a ball at half court when there's like literally 5 seconds left on the clock. They're up 18. A right. guy goes and dunks it and like literally hangs on the rim, does a 180, like complete taunting. If that was in the game, that would be 100% a tech. And then he goes from dunking Showboy on the rim to getting in, getting into a line to shake hands. So in the span of like 5 seconds, Roger said, and one of the coaches who's the first to shake his hand says something. And hell, as a coach, I'd be like, dude, you're up 18 and you just want to showboat on the rim? Like, I'm probably, you might say, like, dude, F off. What was that shit? You know? Exactly. So our other point was, do we need to shake hands? It's the only sport.
Bring this up because this makes a lot of sense.
It's the only sport that we can recall in anything professional or college that nowadays still does shake hands. Now, you could say in the NBA, guys will always talk after games and shake hands, but you're finding friends in the NFL. Players will swap jerseys and shake hands. They do it. Soccer, it's a big thing to swap jerseys and take a picture. But all those situations, you're doing it with people you're friends with. Like, you're not going to go and jersey swap with a guy you don't like or someone you don't know.
Bird and Lamb Beer aren't going to be like, hey, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah. So, you know, it, maybe Draymond's not going to go find his, you know, buddy on a different team for Golden State, you know. But and in hockey, when you finish a playoff series, you shake hands because, hey, you battled it out for 4 to 7 games, and it meant as a term of respect, and it's been around for over, like, 70 years. So I love that for hockey. But
and you kind of get that in the playoff, not to cut you off, but you kind of get that more in a playoff scenario, all sports, where you do actually end up shaking hands a lot more. Maybe it's not an exact in-order thing, you know? But you actually do see more of that in the playoffs.
You're right. But for regular season, none of the four major sports do it. Professional soccer doesn't do it. I think
what's
maybe
the point?
There really is no point. So we really don't in college football. No. And you always see a bunch of college coaches who do the really pitiful handshake because maybe they're pissed at one another. But
yep.
We probably really don't need college basketball lines to shake hands. You could say, oh, well, it's about sportsmanship. Well, dude, we're in the 21st century. Like, sportsmanship can be shown in many different ways. But do we still need a line to shake hands? The answer is no. And if we don't shake hands after a college basketball game, the sport will still be a beautiful sport. We'll still have March Madness. And again, a guy literally went in one motion from hanging onto the rim to sprinting in a line with a grin on his face. And I
right.
can see as a coach.
That
like
is
you,
actually a great point. Let's break that down a little deeper because in other sports, you could have already been on the sidelines for the last 2 minutes. You could have gotten some steam off. You got to
mm-hmm.
walk across the whole goddamn field
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
you're literally fresh off the court. And into that, so that, yeah, that's another layer. It's like, yeah, it probably doesn't need to be there, dude.
No. So, again, college basketball, it's a beautiful sport, but do we need to shake hands? We probably don't. And then for the Detroit Free Press to blast Howard like this, I hope he doesn't lose his job. I don't think he would, but with how society has turned in the last handful of years, maybe this is a fireable offense. I hope it's not, but I could see whatever booster's in charge or whatever, you know, maybe this
yeah,
is
no,
a
that can play a huge part.
It could, but I don't think it loses a job. But I'm sure we're obviously doing this podcast Monday night. I would bet a lot of money that by Tuesday night there will be some decision made because Michigan's got to know how to advance for who's going to fill in as their head coach for how long. I'm sure he's probably not allowed to practice with, or maybe he's allowed to practice with the team. Who knows? Maybe he's just not allowed to coach. I don't know. And then the players too. You're going to have to, you know, look and adapt to how you're looking for the playoffs. Cause obviously Wisconsin is still trying to win a Big Ten race and Michigan is definitely still a bubble team. So you got to, you know, you assume they would get their ducks in a row and make a decision here quickly. But again, a shitty look for the sport. Obviously now you're going to get a whole bunch of people who don't know a damn thing about college basketball, voicing their opinion, because that's how we've become in our social media in our country.
Yeah.
But, yes, hey, next year, let's just drop shaking hands, and let's just avoid situations like this, and no one loses a single thing, Chris.
Yeah, because we can't say, but it's good sports. Well, why isn't everybody do it then? So why don't you force everybody else to do it then? And that's a good point. And I remember, and this stuff dates back to Little League, and I mean, whether it's spitting on someone, shoulder shrugging someone, putting dirt or mud in someone's hand, like there's been plenty of times just literally from first grade to seventh grade of that, you know, of fights breaking out. And it's funny that when we've been talking about this, all these memories have popped up in my head now. And whether it happened to me or someone on my team or somebody from the opposite team did someone to my teammate or whatever, it actually does kind of lend itself to stuff that, like, I get it, and maybe that should just be Little League to teach kids, okay, this is sportsmanship, but it's a business. College basketball is a business just like any other of these sports, so, and professional, obviously. So, yeah, that does play into
it. Well, God, I'm a high school basketball coach, and I bet you of all the times we shake hands, I bet every other game we shake hands, one of my girls says something to another girl. Or
yep.
one of the other girls. It's just, yeah, but thankfully you have your teammates there. It's only always one, and you have
yep.
all the teammates there to break it up. But again, is it necessary? No. You're literally looking for some bad
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you really
happen.
Are.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's really funny. And there's always, like, if you think a group of friends, right, your group of friends back in the day, there's always at least one hothead, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just
mm-hmm.
like, dude, shut up. Stop. It's like,
yeah,
what are you
I know.
Doing? You know, especially
I know.
When you get up drinking age. And you're in a bar, and you're like, God, would you stop, dude? What are you doing right now? Everybody
yep.
says you're an asshole, you know? Like, yeah, that's so funny. Anyway, let's get into some of the action real quick. Like, last Tuesday, Kentucky lost it to Tennessee, and Nova did get a big win on the road at Providence. You know, that was we obviously keyed that game just because we've been looking like, hey, is anybody going to, you know, catch Providence? Well, you know, They're not caught just yet, but it's going to be really interesting. And by them, by Nova winning, it definitely opens up that Big 12. And obviously, you know, on Saturday, Auburn losing definitely opens up that door a little bit. If you look at the schedule, I'm not totally sure exactly how much that – it's schedules of all the top three teams or whatever. It's like I don't know how much that's going to open, but this Saturday is going to be big for that. Texas Tech got a big win over Baylor midweek last week. Rutgers beat Illinois. That was a pretty big win as well. But as far as more Saturday action, well, first let's talk about that Providence and Nova. It was pretty much a must-win for Nova if they wanted to compete down the stretch for this Big East title.
Yeah, and, you know, part of college basketball is not always so much which is the better team on a given day, but, you know, who's due for a good performance and who's due for an off one. And, again, a lot of people sabermetrically said Providence has been the luckiest team all year, and I would disagree, and I'd say they're probably a really good team. But if you're looking at just simply a basketball team, that was another close game where it was a 1-2 possession game for the last 5 minutes. And Providence for once let one slide. And Nova is also a team who you got to figure, you know, they're a pretty damn good team too. They're ranked in the top 10 as well. And so maybe for this one day, they were the better team on the court. Again, they won 89-84, but to give Villanova credit for a win they deserve, they went into Providence. No one has won on that home court all year. So I think we pretty much got the game we expected, Chris. Neither of us predicted a blowout. I thought Providence would win. I've kind of just hopped on the bandwagon for that team. But, again, Villanova's right up there with them. And on a given day, Villanova is arguably the best team in the Big East. So they got it when they needed. That does keep them in the Big East title hunt. I believe the last game of the year, they actually play each other. So this Big East title hunt is far from over. And also, if you're a Providence fan, it'd be really cool. They've never won the Big East. This could be the first time in school history they've ever won the Big East. So they're still obviously in the running for that as well. If you're looking just at stats, one number jumps out quite a bit. And it's the fact that Villanova, they're always a three-point shooting team. They've been a guard-oriented three-point shooting team since Jay Wright's been there. It's been a long time. They were 11 of 23 on the three-point line. Providence was 5 of 23. So you lost at home, and a team made 6 more threes than you did. So that's, you know, 18 points right there, and you lost by 5. So clearly they had a bit of an off night because Providence normally isn't that bad of a three-point shooting team. At the free-throw line, they made one extra free throw. So, you know, when you have two teams who are, you know, pretty fairly matched, a lot of times it comes down to three-point shooting. And, hey, again, given all the credit, that was a great gutsy win. They finally found someone who could win at Providence. And, again, that makes the Big East title race a lot closer than it was a week ago.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, by the way, they may have lost, but that building – was completely on fire, though. That building was definitely jam-packed and ready to go. On Saturday, Texas got a nice win on the road, 61-55. Texas Tech on the road at Texas, 61-55. That's coming off a win at home over Baylor. They beat TCU. They stumbled against Oklahoma randomly, but they, ever since that, they had a really tight loss at Kansas, I believe. This is like end of January. And since then, I think they only have one loss. So I really like what I see out of Texas Tech down the stretch. And we'll get into some of these standings later in the show. But, you know, they have, tomorrow they have Oklahoma. You know, you got to kind of give them that game because they're going to be pissed that they had lost to them earlier. At TCU is not going to be easy. TCU is pretty scrappy. But then Kansas State and Oklahoma State. So Texas Tech has a really nice path to close the year, when it comes down to that. Now, Illinois beat Michigan State 79-74. And something I've noticed out of Michigan State It seems like this year, because when you look at everything, there's not a whole lot of difference in stats. I mean, you could say Illinois got to the line more. You know, that would, that'd be a big difference there, because there wasn't a big, you know, like total turnovers was only 11 to 8. But I've noticed with Michigan State, Marshall, that they just, for whatever reason this year, of course they always have talent, but it doesn't seem like they have that just straight difference maker that'll get you over the hump in some of these tight games. And up late now, it's like four out of the last six they've lost. Michigan State's going down, not down, down, but, you know, that it just, I don't know. There's just something about that team. About a month, month and a half ago, it seemed like they were playing better. They're obviously, you know, not to kick them when they're down, but they've struggled of late, but it doesn't seem like they've got that it player this year that'll just continually allow them to win the close games like they have so many times in the past.
Yeah, and that's one thing we're going to realize more as we come down the stretch here for college basketball. As you start to look at your brackets and make picks and enjoy conference tournaments, having senior point guards and having a go-to guy is a blessing in college basketball. And a lot of teams don't have that. It is very rare for teams to have that one guy that can get you a bucket. I saw the highlights of the Oregon Arizona game this past weekend, and Oregon was down three with like 3 seconds to go, and the guy who had the ball dribbles in for a layup. It's like, what part of basketball IQ, you know, like you're down 3 points with like 5 seconds and less to go, and you dribble in for a layup and you didn't even get a shot off. It's like, with a high, I'm assuming with a high IQ point guard or a clutch player, you realize, dude, I'm not going in for like, there's just so many. And that's why I've always been lucky as a Carolina fan. We pretty much always had a point guard who pretty much after playing there for 2 or 3 years is going to the NBA. Like, I've been spoiled as hell. And we realized we didn't have that against Duke this year. We got embarrassed, but having point guards or go-to scores, whether they're big or small, that can get you points is something that you can't take for granted, Chris. And, that for Sparty, again, they're a well-rounded team. On a given week this year, they've beat some of the best teams in the country. But you're right. They normally do have that go-to guard or a big like Draymond or God. Well, the list of Izzo players he's had, it's been a long list. But, yeah, it's something that we'll see more of. And, again, but really, honestly, big picture, I really only heard hype about the kid in Auburn, you know, Davis. And I've heard a handful of the guys that Coach Cal has. And in Kentucky, and you got the Gonzaga and UCLA studs from last year, but I've really not heard a whole lot of, you know, like stud players. I think we're going to have a fun March, Chris, because there's a lot of good teams this year. But, and again, part of this is it's just really hard to cover college basketball because there's so many teams, but I've not heard a huge commotion of like, hey, who's up for player of the year? I know that the Johnny Davis of Wisconsin is getting a lot of hype, but I don't think that this is maybe the lottery NBA draft season that we're going to see. We might not always have. Maybe we're a little more team-oriented with the teams up top, Chris, more so than having, you know, a handful of guys that are going to be like, you know, freaks and studs in the NBA.
Like two top 10 players from Duke, right? Oh, you forgot to mention Duke a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how that happened. That's weird. That's usually not like you. No, yeah, you're right, though. That is a good point. There's no far and away, just hands down player that's just like, yeah, they got it. You know, even Bynum for Providence, he's made so many plays for them all year. Sure. But yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. There's a lot of quality players, no doubt, but it's not like these two and then everybody, you know, that's a good point. Keeping up some of this recap going before we get into our preview and prediction segment.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not David. Jabari Smith in Auburn. I had the wrong last name. Jabari Smith is like a highlight NBA lottery pick. But, you know.
That's center. that center didn't do all that much in this last game, but he's been putting up a lot of rebounds and a lot of blocks. That tall ass center Auburn has.
Yeah, Kessler, who came from North Carolina. Yeah, you're right.
He's been playing. Once he got out of North Carolina, man, it really plugged. Something happened. I don't know what it is. but I mean, he gets a lot of blocks. He's tall and shit, but I mean, he's had games where he had like 7 and 8 blocks, so that's a little different. Arkansas, tight game. I think a 1-point game at half with Tennessee. They made like a 12-1 run or 10-1 run late, and Tennessee down the stretch. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. 2 field goals in the last final 8 minutes, and there it is. Used 11-1 run late to get it done, 58-48, so 34-25. You know, Arkansas definitely has. They were on that streak, right, of like, I think it was like 9 in a row or something like that. And then they lost to Bama. But now, you know, they beat Tennessee. The interesting part, though, for Arkansas, right, they got to go at Florida, which isn't a simple game, as we recently found out. Then they got Kentucky, LSU, and Tennessee again. So that's the only thing with that. I think it was like a 7 or 8 game, 9 game winning streak. You couldn't really find a bunch of quality wins in there. So it was like, well, let's wait and see. But they definitely, you know, got a quality win there, no doubt about it. And like I mentioned, Iowa did upset Ohio State. I think I'm just mentioning that because I picked that. You know, I guess I'm just egotistical like that. Go ahead. Any other games from Saturday and Sunday? I got to say UConn has really survived this wave that we talked about as well with them. They've had some losses. They've had some wins. But as we know, they've had a hell of a schedule, and they're still just, you know, staying alive, basically.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Big East to wrap up this past week, Butler's actually been playing a lot better than their record shows. They whooped up Marquette, and at home, if they've been losing games this year, they've been super close losses. And they actually got out big on Providence. Butler was actually up 19 in the second half. But even with Providence's shooting guard out, they were able to come back and win 71-70. Again, that was a super fun game to watch. Butler played great in the first half. Providence scored like 4 points from like 14 minutes left to 4 minutes. So it was pretty embarrassing. But hey, down 19, you come back in a relatively tough road environment. But again, I think that comes from having seniors, and as my co-host mentioned, the oldest team in the country. So a good win for Providence that lets them stay up top of the Big East. A tough loss for Butler. Again, when you're up 19 at home, that's normally one you can't allow to slip up. Yeah. Houston, who we haven't
Speaking
talked about
the whole late second breakdowns in double overtime.
So,
Houston
manages to beat Wichita. Wichita, they're not quite as bad as their record either. They've had a lot of losses this year where it's just the score's close. But, and honestly, that Etienne, I think that guy's going to go pro because that guy's one of the best shooters I've seen all year. It's just he has shit for help this year. If you ever watch Wichita State, if you do for conference tournaments or you ever got their game on for a regular night, that Etienne on Wichita State is one of the best shooters in college basketball, hands down, in my opinion. The guy's a joy to watch, but the rest of his teammates are pretty shitty. So Houston got a victory to stay 11-2 in the American after they bounced back from that Memphis defeat. And what do you know? USC wins a game but doesn't come close to covering at all. They win 62-60. At home against Washington State. I don't know what it is, but that USC team, I've yet to see them really have a great win. I know they have a good record. They're 23-4, but whenever I watch that team play, man, they are pulling teeth and nails to get W's, and they got one. And Washington State's nothing to brag about. So another USC win, but Chris, I don't have that team going too far, but they sure find ways to, I guess, win. Ugly, you may say. And just in case you missed it, Wisconsin did beat Michigan 77-63 in what was kind of like the CBS Sunday Big Ten game of the week.
Right. And so they were up a fair amount to call a timeout with 20 seconds left. And also, that Rutgers-Purdue game actually was pretty competitive for a while. Then Purdue just kind of opened up on him, and Ivy had this nasty dunk where the camera was just focused on him after, and he just had this stare at the camera like, I'm just dead serious look. It was pretty dope. And Purdue definitely, you know, at the top of the Big Ten right now, but that's obviously fluid.
Oh, there is one last game. Your New Jersey Institute Tech Highlanders, you know, that team.
The Highlanders.
If you look at their schedule, they had played St. John's. You're like, you know what? That shows they ain't afraid to play anyone, Chris. And what do you know? 4-0. The home dog, I believe, New Jersey Tech Highlanders beat the UMass Lowell Riverhawks.
And there was that gym had a lot of energy in it too, dude. A lot of
the
energy.
Crafty pick of the week. 4-0. College basketball is here. I'm just saying, people. I'm just saying. We'll finish the show with it tonight. But another dub, and the NJIT Highlanders said, you ain't walking in our house, no, sir. We remember playing St. John's, and we're going to, you know, watch that game tape and, you know, learn how to play fast tempo. And they got the job done in a 59-55 high tempo, low scoring game.
I'm gonna get a petition going around and try to stop it right now. Just 4-0. It sounds so good. Let's just stop it right now. Let's put a halt to it. This isn't even in my contract going into this year. So I am trying to stop it at 4-0, but we'll see.
I'm going to filibuster that for the rest of the show,
right?
And make you give a pick today. So I apologize, my friend. Sorry.
I'm going to have to pass it next year in reconciliation, I guess. All right. So tonight at 6 o'clock on FS1, Indiana visits Ohio State, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Arizona State, who's this weird, like they actually have a decent win in there, but not, you know, UCLA should, which it looks like they may have bounced back and maybe they can get a little momentum going down the stretch of the season because they did have some tough games where they didn't look as good. For Tuesday, usually, you know, we have two or three ranked versus ranked, but still some interesting action. Arkansas visits Florida. We just talked about that. Michigan State, Iowa, Villanova at UConn, which is just a major, major game, you know, within that conference. Couple other games that kind of stand out, Duke at Virginia, little payback there because didn't Virginia beat them on their home floor? Xavier at Providence, that's all Wednesday. Thursday, Ohio State is visiting Illinois, UCLA in Oregon. That should be an interesting matchup too. So this week, you know, there are some good matchups. Maybe not as stacked, like I said, on Tuesday, but some important, you know, matchups, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we've gotten pretty spoiled for the last few weeks, honestly, of weekday matchups. But the Big East, the Big Ten, the ACC, Big 12 has pretty much been delivering pretty well. I will say this really is the time now where you can start to check the bubble and see who's going in, who's going out. I think it's DeCourcy on Fox and obviously Lenardi on ESPN. If you want to check it out, it is amazing how pretty much accurate those guys are. So, and obviously I know things can change in the next couple of weeks, but if you go to Bracketology right now, the picks they have or the people who they have on the bubble or first four in, first four out, those guys like almost never miss. So now these games start to matter more because, you know, if you're a team on the bubble and you win a couple in a row, now you're in. And if you lose a couple of games where you shouldn't, then now you're out, you know. So even though the matchups maybe aren't quite as filled with ranked teams playing ranked teams, the basketball is just as good because a lot of these teams are playing for their March Madness life. So like you said, I mean, Baylor, Oklahoma State, that's probably not going to be the best game in the world. Indiana, Ohio State, both those teams are a little bit inconsistent tonight, and UCLA has got Arizona State. So maybe, like you said, not the best Monday night in town, but, you know, that's okay. I will say, you mentioned Thursday, Ohio State versus Illinois. Illinois is maybe one of the best teams that we've, like, it seems like everyone's kind of sleeping on. Like, I feel that on a given night that team can play about as good as almost anyone in the country, but it's almost like they're not getting the same love as other teams, yet their win-loss record in the Big 12, Big 10 is pretty solid. So if you're trying to figure out what kind of team Illinois is, Thursday night against Ohio State, probably a pretty good game. Ohio State also has moments where they're kind of up and down, up and down. So that would be a kind of a fun one to see. And again, that could also help kind of spread out the Big Ten. And also Thursday night at 8:30 is UCLA and Oregon. Oregon is just that team, again, to me makes just no sense at all. They have some of the best Pac-12 wins in the whole conference, Chris, and almost some losses where you're like, dude, how, well, you're a tournament team.
Right.
And that'll be that. But it, again, if you're looking to solidify your March Madness resume, as I've said, which is getting really important now, a home win against UCLA would be a great stamp of approval to get that done. So as I mentioned, your March Madness brackets are starting to get a little bit of an idea. If you're Oregon, again, you've had some great wins and you've had some shitty losses. Beating UCLA at home on ESPN, 8:30 on Thursday night, would be a huge step in the right direction for that team and probably get them a lot closer to being in instead of being that 50-50 bubble situation team.
Now, that Tuesday night matchup, UConn is a minor favorite here, 1 point. Villanova, I think, has won 8 out of their last 9. I think they just lost to Marquette during that stretch. But another road game. So I'm actually going with UConn to win that game in overtime. I like Illinois over Ohio State. You know, we talked about the weekday a little bit, but as far as it being, you know, some good matchups, but, you know, it's always on paper. We'll see how they actually turn out because it might be a great week. We never really know all the way. But what we do know is on paper this Saturday has a lot of games. Number 6, Kentucky visiting a hot number 18, Arkansas. Number 3, Auburn, who stumbled a little bit lately. Nothing majorly, but, you know, they actually have 2 losses in the last chunk of time, which when you didn't lose for so long, that's a little bit of a stumble anyway. They do have, beyond this game, I think they have the less difficult path to the SEC regular season title. But nevertheless, number 3, number 17, they go to Tennessee. That'll be kind of interesting. And then we talked about that Oregon, USC Oregon. That's kind of a difference maker there as far as, hey, I can add another quality team. I hope, you know, something's got to give with Gonzaga, so I'm going to say St. Mary's doesn't beat them, but they're in the game. Let's say they're within 10 points with 10 minutes left. Is that too much to ask for Marshall? I don't know. Another team, though, oh, then I forgot, number 5, Kansas, at number 10, Baylor. Wisconsin at Rutgers. I mean, this Saturday is just jam-packed. So I'm going to pick, you know, this early, I'm going to pick Auburn over Tennessee. I got to see what's up with Ty because, you know, he did twist his ankle again. And they're not as good a team with them. They're still very good. They can, you know, win against quality teams. So if Ty plays, I got them beaten Arkansas on the road. Any other games you want to talk about or do some predictions as well before we get to kind of floating around and seeing exactly where we are in all the major conferences down the stretch here?
Yeah, I will. I'm sure the spread's going to be probably maybe 2 or 3, but I would take Baylor to beat Kansas on Saturday. I think Providence at home against Creighton, even if they're like a four to six point favorite, I would take them. I think Creighton's Big East record's a little more inflated and they're luckier than it is. So I would look at Creighton to win that game. USC at Oregon. Dear Lord. One team I don't respect and one team that's 50-50.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. I don't have a pick because I would literally be going against what I've been saying. But that would probably be a close, low-scoring competitive game. But for a gambling pick, I would stay far away from that game. And the other one you saw, you mentioned, Kentucky, right? They probably have the best road wins in the country this year, or they're one of the top three teams. I don't think that team really cares where they go, and it's probably because they're probably the deepest, most talented team in the country, or maybe they have the best first seven people. Like that team, if healthy. And they don't roll their ankles, could easily be going to the Final Four this year because that team is deep and loaded as hell. And again, if you don't trust me, just look at their away wins this year. It's, you know, and they've had a lot of really impressive ones. And if you're Tennessee, if your offense can do just enough, you know, you can take down Auburn and really make that SEC title, Chris, get really, really close. So, yeah, you're right. Saturday is a great Saturday. And what makes it even better is the following Saturday, when it becomes like March 3rd or whatever, 4th, that's always the rivalry week, which is always like Duke, Carolina, and like Auburn, you know, Kentucky, you know, whatever.
So they're going to play Michigan. The second game this year? They're still going to do that? I thought they were going to call it off, like a white flag scenario. We'll get them next year, something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe if we can find a point guard on the floor like we've done for 25 years, that'd be nice. You know, what do I know? So yeah, but hey, well, as I mentioned that, actually, let's hop into standings and
hold on. I did want to talk about Creighton real quick.
Okay.
That kind of runs itself into that though. Since February kicked in, literally on February 1st, they won a road game at UConn. Now they did drop handedly, I may add, on the road. They did drop a game at Seton Hall. And don't get me wrong, their schedule hasn't been nuts, right? The Georgetown. We know Butler's a better team than, like you said, than their record says. Georgetown sucks this year, but they did beat them. DePaul's okay. They did beat them, but then they got a win over Marquette as well in their last outing. So I think Creighton now, don't get me wrong, at St. John's, at Providence, UConn, and then the makeup game for the team that the only team they've lost in this stretch, Seton Hall, it's going to be a tough road, but they've won the games they were supposed to win. And then they also beat, you know, UConn and Marquette. So I got to give Creighton, who seemed to be down this year and is a solid program, I got to give them some respect. They've kind of weathered the storm early. And they've looked pretty good. So you want to be playing your best ball down the stretch. And with this schedule coming up, it's pretty important.
That is fair. You're right. I think it just they've lost. Like 2 years ago, they had an NBA player with a really solid point guard. Last year, they lost a really solid point guard. And all that, they had that whole coaching mess of him saying plantation, all that shit. And they kind of finished here on a weird note. But so you've lost like legit either overseas talent or NBA talent for the last couple of years. So you're right, they do deserve credit for the 10-5 record they have in the Big East, which is probably again a top three or four conference in the country. But it just, yeah, you're right. It just, when you watch them play, nothing about them really shocks them on the eye test. But a win is a win, and they did meet Marquette, who I've said could go to the Final Four. So I guess I should, you know, give them some props for that win. Yeah, there's nothing intriguing about them necessarily, but hey, 10-5 is 10-5, and they're right in that third place tied for a slot. So we might as well start on the Big East, which works out just as good because that's a conference I know is as good as any other ones. If we're talking bubble, Seton Hall and Seton Hall is pretty much, I would say, the one bubble team along with Xavier. St. John's is 7-8 too, but they don't have really any good wins. Like, I love the team, but they don't have a bunch of like outstanding, shocking wins that would put them in the echelon. So they would have to go on a serious run and win some games in the Big East. So I would say Providence is locked in, Nova, Creighton, UConn, Marquette, and Seton Hall and Xavier more likely probably in. St. John's or Butler need to go on like an insane run or win the Big East. for the conference itself right now, I would still say Providence and Nova, hands down, the two best teams in the conference. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Nova probably right now deserves the props because they did just win in Providence. And for Providence, here's how you wrap up your season. You got to play Xavier at home, which should be a really fun game to watch in 2 days. And you got Creighton at home, which, again, is winnable for sure. And then you go to Nova. So if you win your two games as you should, you have a little bit of a cushion there. And you're going to go to Nova, which I'm sure they'll be ready. That game probably would probably result in a loss because Nova will probably be ready to try to win a Big East crown as well. But if you're Providence, take care of business. Hope the Nova slips up and you could win the first Big East basketball title in school history.
You know, it's funny too. What about the scenario, right, where that game on Providence, March 1st, on Providence schedule, that's their last game. But because, you know, obviously it wasn't anything like last year, COVID reschedules and pauses. But, you know, there has been some of that this year, especially early on.
Sure.
They still have to go at Butler past that game now. So that would suck. You beat them and they're like, yeah, we beat them. We lose to Butler. So you never know. I mean.
True. You're right.
You know, there is that just in the back of the head. Yeah, we know Nova's better and all that, but. Just in your mind, whenever you can relax a little bit, there is just that, you know, there is something to it. The well, same reason said, why, you know, Garnett and Pierce don't want to take a picture with Ray Allen. You know, no, they're still not letting that down. No, they're still stuck in that. Like, no, I'm not letting my mind think that way. I'm still pissed at you. Obviously, an extreme funny example. I just saw the picture literally before came on the show. So anyway, yeah, it's still wide open, and that's why I wanted to mention Creighton too, because it's like, all right, dude, they're right there in the standings, you know, considering where they were, you know, a month ago. It looked like they were gonna have a down year, so kudos to them. Switching to Big 12, no surprise, KU, Rock Chalk Jayhawks, 11-2 at the top. They're 13-1 at home. Texas Tech though, and Baylor tied at 10-4. Texas just hanging on at 8-6. And then there is quite a drop off after that, no doubt about it. Now, when you look at what's next, you know, I mentioned this earlier. You know, I mentioned this earlier. TCU, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and Oklahoma, they're looking like in pretty decent shape to close the season. Whereas Kansas, we know they got a big matchup at Baylor, still got to play Texas. And the back-to-back stuff, we see this in the NBA, you know, based off last year when they had that schedule where sometimes you just play teams back-to-back, and they kind of kept it this year. And, you know, on the road TCU, and then two nights later, which is not a normal thing necessarily. I mean, sometimes you play Saturday, Monday in college basketball, but that could be tricky. I mean, Kansas, Baylor, Texas, and TCU twice home in a, you know, in a way. This thing's not done yet, especially how good Texas Tech's been playing.
No, I completely agree. A lot of people, as I've said for the last couple of weeks, have throwing a good chunk of money on Texas Tech to win the national title in Vegas, just because I think about a month ago or even 2 months ago, a lot of people saw, hey, this team has, like, you know, in like the 100-1 odds to win a title, and they're not playing like a team that should be 100-1. So I know there's a handful of people who would like to see the Raiders cut down the net. And if you've watched them play this year, I mean, I'm not saying they're Kentucky, but they have a pretty solid just overall resume. Like, you know, they've beat a lot of good opponents. They've really taken care of business at home. I think it's pretty much, you could argue on a given night that it's either Texas Tech, Baylor, or Kansas for who is the best team in the Big 12. I know Kansas is in the driver's seat, but as I was saying, I think on Saturday, Chris, I really think that Baylor's going to lose. That Baylor's going to beat Kansas would really make that final week of the Big 12 regular season pretty fun to watch down the stretch. And as you were saying, as we go and looking at the bubble, obviously the teams I mentioned before are all pretty much shoe-ins. When you mention Kansas, Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma State started the year off pretty hot like Iowa State did, but neither of those teams are like probably having a chance at all. I would say Texas is pretty securely in, but they don't have a whole lot of great wins. I think they've had a good enough regular season, but they don't have anything that really jumps out to you. It's probably looking at maybe like being an average, maybe anywhere from like the 5 to 7 range, if I had to guess. And besides that, K-State, I've not heard much from them around the offseason. TCU was hot a month ago, but they've really fallen off. So, yeah, surprisingly, you're probably looking at, okay, so KU, Texas Tech, Baylor, Texas Longhorns locked in. And they might only actually bring in 4, which, honestly, for the Big 12 would be kind of, I would say, lackluster. That's pretty much always, I'd say, since we've done our podcast, Chris, pretty much a shoe-in for 6 normally. But
top-heavy like a mother effer, though, because those three teams are pretty damn good. You know, that's kind of strange how that works. It's like, are the top 3 stronger than some of the years we've seen where it's been deeper, you know?
I think that's the case because, again, K-State, their non-conference was shitty. Oklahoma State, you're 6-8 in conference. K-State, 6-8 in conference. TCU, 5-7. Iowa State was once ranked 11th this year. They're now 5-9 in conference. Oklahoma's 4-10. Virginia, West Virginia, 3-10. Like, this might be the smallest yet strongest Big 12 ticket punch we've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, man. Huh. That's really interesting how you laid that out. Texas Tech. I mean, I hate to like, I just don't know about Baylor because, you know, they've suffered some injuries of late and,
sure,
and all that stuff, but you obviously can't count them out, but I don't know. That's interesting. Heading to the Big Ten, obviously, you know, it's been tight all year like a lot of these races have, but the Big Ten has been really, really tight. And we look at those 4 losses now, 13-4, 12-4, and 12-4 at the top. So half game back, Illinois and Wisconsin, Purdue at the top. You do still have Ohio State and Rutgers lingering, but it's, you know, I don't see that happening. But when you look at what's left, Purdue, you know, getting that win over Rutgers, they're at Michigan State, who's going to be desperate, right? For at this time, it's not just getting in the tournament, but it's also, hey, can I go from an 8 seed to a 6 seed? You know, that type of stuff, or even higher, whatever. If you have a good, you know, good ending to a season, you carry it into the Big Ten tournament. Next thing you know, you're a 5th seed or 4th seed. You know, that happens. But Purdue at Michigan State, at Wisconsin, and at Indiana. If you look at Wisconsin, at Minnesota, at Rutgers, Purdue, and then when you look at – basically, my point is Illinois has the least difficult path to going undefeated the rest of the way. And – to make it a little bit more interesting, and it kind of lends itself to what am I – and don't get me wrong, they still got to play Ohio State. They got to go, well, at Michigan. Who knows exactly, you know, what the mentality is going to be there per se. Maybe the players will be playing harder for the coach or whatever. You know, you never know. But they got to play Iowa too, which Iowa just got a nice win. But Wisconsin did beat Purdue. I'm going to double check. I think it was at Purdue. This was January 3rd now. It was a long time ago. But Purdue, you know, losing on your home floor, there's always great incentive to come back and be like, you know what, we're going to pay him back. But it just tells you how, you know, don't count Wisconsin out just because they can beat Purdue again potentially. But Illinois, the team that, you know, like you mentioned earlier, kind of parlaying into that, they haven't been talked about, but they may win the Big Ten regular season.
Yeah, they're a team that I think they're a really good team. It's just they've kind of been a little quiet hush-hush. I know they've had have had a couple of losses too that, you know, are maybe they weren't on their best moments, but they did have a Coburn, their center, out for a couple of those. So yeah, even though they're 19-7, which doesn't look as glamorous as maybe you would expect for a team that could be like a 2-4 seed, they could probably win the Big Ten tournament. I don't think that would like leave people surprised either. So yeah, the Big Ten, that literally probably will come down to the last week. That is just such a top heavy, top to bottom, you know, probably the best conference in the country this year. Now, again, they also had those accolades last year. And then we saw what happened when, you know, they were golfing, you know, earlier than the Pac-12. Everyone's like, what the hell just happened? But for the bubble watch, for the Big Ten, obviously Purdue is locked in, Illini locked in, Badgers, Ohio State all in, Rutgers is in the tournament just based off 5-2 against ranked teams. Sparty, right. Sparty's got to be, they're locked in. Michigan, for sure on the bubble. Iowa, despite being 8-7 and in eighth place in the Big Ten, is somehow ranked 25th. That's a mind-numbing situation. And they're 1-4 against ranked teams, which is also very odd. They're 4-5 on the road. I have no idea how the hell I was ranked 25th yet in eighth place in the Big Ten. And Indiana's 7-8. So I would say all those teams mentioned are looking to get in or have a good chance of being on the bubble. Indiana on a given night has had some great wins here and some bad losses. Iowa's done the same. So we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're looking at 9 teams possibly going dancing. And I would say, Chris, 6 or 7 of those are probably for sure locked in. And so if you're Indiana and Michigan, I know Michigan might be up against it this week, but you got to try to sneak out a few more wins or try to sneak out a couple wins in your conference tournament. And the Big Ten will be taking 9 to the March Madness dance. And as I was scrolling down through this, I'm shocked, and this is embarrassing, but look at the ACC. They have 1 ranked team, and we're 3 weeks from March Madness, officially being played. I think the opening tip games are March 13th and 14th, and there's 1 ranked ACC tournament team out of a conference that has 15 or 16. That is almost hard to fathom, but I feel like hard to fathom is an understatement of a sentence. That's just crazy, man. You have 1 ranked team for one of the most proudest basketball conference traditions. Holy shit, that's bad. And I know my Tar Heels are on the bubble,
which that ain't good either, my friend. That ain't good either.
Which 11-5 in conference and on the bubble, that is unheard of, like you said. I mean, that is very rare that you'd be 11-5 and not be in the tournament cleanly. You know what I mean?
The ESPN, it literally said Tar Heels cannot afford a bad loss.
And so Duke basically has Virginia left on their schedule as far at Virginia. And I think I talked about that earlier, how they did beat them on their home court. So I think Duke's going to win the game just off that. But otherwise, it looks like it's – because Notre Dame really doesn't have to play anybody either. So it looks like it'll come down to if they could beat Virginia coming up, Duke, they should be able to win it. And, you know, Kentucky and Auburn, switching the SEC real quick, don't play each other again. So – this weekend, it will basically, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's probably going to get decided. Is this thing wide open again or not? Because of the teams, the matchups, right? We talked about how that's what's cool about this week in the SEC, right? Okay, you got the top 4 teams. Okay, who are they playing? Oh, they're all playing each other, you know, so that's pretty dope. And it's pretty easy to figure out there. You can say in the Pac-12 that, well, I mean, there's a chance for USC, only 2.5 games out. But if you look at what they got to finish with, there probably isn't a chance. Because they still have to play or at Oregon, Arizona, and at UCLA. So even if you won one of those, you're not going to win it. The Arizona Wildcats, we might as well just give them the Pac-12 right now, sir.
Yeah, and like I said, for the Pac-12, Leonard Hamilton's probably going to miss it. When's the last time Florida State missed the NCAA tournament? Holy shit, that's...
You know, this year, maybe they'll win the tournament. Maybe they'll win the ACC tournament. That's how they get in. You know, it's wild. Yeah, you're right.
I think we've done this for 9 years. I think 9 or 10 years. I don't think we've ever done a tournament where Leonard Hamilton didn't make March Madness. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money on that. I bet $100 that he's never missed one in the years we've done a show. Holy shit! Wow. It's just
telling.
Every team has their off years. I mean, hell, Carolina's been the NIT, like, yeah, every team does. But, yeah, Leonard Hamilton, that's pretty much been a guaranteed, four to seven seed every year. So, wow.
Well, the folks, the teams that make the NIT definitely don't want to see the Gophers go on a run and make the NIT, because when the Gophers get to the NIT, they're going to at least be in the final, if not take it. They're a really competent team in the NIT. That's a great track record. Anyway. I think that about wraps it up. Any last words before we get into this crafty, crappy pick of the week that I'm petitioning to stop right now?
How Colorado, again, has played some of the worst basketball I've seen this whole season, yet they are tied for, like, basically third place. The Pac-12, holy shit. Like, Colorado is a garbage basketball team, I believe, and they're 10-7 in the Pac-12. You know, if I'm wrong again, I'm wrong again. But besides Arizona, UCLA, and USC, like, I don't – that conference, I got nothing. I'm done. And, yes, we will have another crafty, crappy pick of the week. And this one – oh, boy. All right. So, this game is – I believe it is a Wednesday. Wednesday has been our theme this year, yes.
This Wednesday, right?
This 23rd? The 23rd, yes, sir. Now I'd scroll down. So let me go scroll back now and find. I just want to confirm.
And meanwhile, American University's up 3 at Colgate tonight, so that could have been one of them.
We're ESPN Plus somehow for God knows what reason. This game is on ESPN Plus, and you can get in for $33 for this trash game. Good God. All right.
Okay, can you give me the damn game so I can start looking at it? He's trying to stop this 4-0 run.
They call it a tease in the business, Chris. It's called a tease.
It's called an hour and 7 minutes is what it's called. Can you give me a time at least?
6:00 ESPN Plus Central Time. The Charleston Southern Buccaneers, 5-22. 1-13 in conference, are traveling in their pirate ships to the Presbyterian Blue Hose.
Yeah, that's why you got to tell me, really, because I'm still trying to find this damn thing, dude.
All right, so the Presbyterian Blue Hose is called H-O-S-E.
Teams again, Charleston what?
Charleston Southern Buccaneers. And okay, the Presbyterian Blue Hose. I'm not saying like a party in person. The Blue Hose. I'm gonna find out the rationale of this nickname.
And it's hose. Hose. Like
hose.
Water hose. Not something you use in a garden. Put it that way.
So Chris, take it away.
Why is it gonna be blue? Could you Google that? What the hell is that? A blue one.
Blue hose.
I mean, what the hell, dude? That doesn't even make sense, man. All right, yeah. Could you Google that? Because I got you.
I'm on it.
I don't know what the hell that's all about. All right, so Presbyterian is on this is the crafty, crappy pick of the week. So, I mean, you're going to have some losing teams here. They're on a 5-game skid right now. Let's see their non-conference. Now they battled with Clemson, who ain't shit this year. They did play Tennessee, but they got beat 86-44. Okay. Well, I mean, let's see. To not go with the home team, there has to be something here in the non-conference that stands out. Let's see here for the Charleston Southern Buccaneers. because you know a lot of Buccaneers stuff over there. Man, this one is bad. Holy crap.
Hey, Charleston Southern did go to Ole Miss and Wake Forest. Those are two, like, okay teams, I guess. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest
won
the tournament.
Presbyterian did face, they faced Cincinnati and they faced Tennessee as well. But you can't really get anything out of the game. Well, they did come close to Clemson. But, you know, I mean, Clemson, you know, I think they're dead last or something like that in the ACC, that great conference we were just talking about. It's bad when you give up more points than you score in both these teams. Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah, both these teams do. Both these teams do. Charleston Southern. Yeah, boy, man, this is really bad. Okay, I'm gonna have to go to the Ross E. Templeton PE Center, capacity 2,300. So get your tickets, like you said, as low as $33. $33. We've seen $8 ones. I mean, but see, that's where it's all supply and demand. There's not a lot of tickets available because you can only fit 2,300 in there. So that does that. That's capitalism working in its finest, I guess you could say. So I'm going to go with the Presbyterian. I want to know why your mascot is that. That's what I'm going to call them. Why can't it be a red hose or an orange hose? There's got to be something to this. Did you find anything on Google? Because I am going with the blue hoses.
So, yes,
I did. It sounds better like that, the blue hoses, because then you can clearly hear the words, you know?
Well, so I might start a petition, Chris. I think they should be called the Blue Sox. It began in the early 1900s when sport writers.
Is that what we're going with?
When sport writers referred to the Presbyterian College Athletics as the Blue Stockings because of the blue socks they wore. So writers use the term stocking or hoses interchangeably over the years. Why not be the Presbyterian Blue Sox? Like, you're on the East Coast. You got the Red Sox, you got the White Sox in baseball. Why not be the Presbyterian Blue Sox? I think that'd be a pretty, you know, badass nickname. But you're the Blue Hoses. I think the Blue Stockings would be better. The blue Kicks or something. I don't know. But yeah. It's due to their socks they wore in the early 1900s.
Just happened to be blue.
Yep.
So you got the Red Sox, the Black Sox. Okay, I see.
I think the Blue Sox was a missed advertisement opportunity, you know. But what do I know? I'm just a guy living in Texas. So, on that note, thanks as always for listening. Again, we have a loaded Saturday. When we do our show next week, then the bubble watch really does start to like really get tight because. Yeah. When we do next week's show, there's like 1 week of regular season left. And also that means that the conference tournaments for some of the smaller conferences are going to be right around the corner. But as my co-host says, sometimes the whole conference tournament week is almost just as good as March Madness. And I know you don't get your bracket, but you get almost even more basketball. And I think the Big Ten, the Big East, and the SEC tournaments this year should just be an absolute delight and joy to watch. So on that note, stay warm, stay safe. Thanks as always for listening. The boys are out tonight. Peace.